This episode is brought to you by Deliveroo. Because anything goes this Christmas. Yes, even sprouts on a pizza or gravy on sushi. The rules are, there are no rules. Have a Cantonese on Christmas Eve or a Balti on Boxing Day. And when you're so over the leftovers, bring on the ramen. From big brands to local favorites, this Christmas, it's all on your doorstep with Deliveroo. Geographical restrictions, T's and C's, service and delivery fees apply.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, December 15th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, Google is testing its AI-powered search tool on millions of users, and the company intends to bring it into the heart of its search engine. But the move threatens news publishers, who rely on Google for nearly 40% of their traffic. WSJ reporter Keech Hagey joins us to talk about what this could mean for the future of search and how publishers are pushing back. And then, buying cheap electronics like phone chargers and e-scooters from online marketplaces can be tempting. But poorly made or even counterfeit devices come with a big risk. They can cause fires. WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen tells us how to buy electronics that delight and are safe to use. But first, Google has been experimenting with its latest AI tool for search, what it calls its Search Generative Experience. It's a tool that uses a large language model, or LLM, that offers up a summarized answer to the search query with far fewer links to various sources than a normal Google search. But those links have been an important source of traffic for online news publishers, whose content may have even trained the LLMs in the first place. WSJ reporter Keech Hagey is here to tell us about Google's plans and what they mean for news publishers. And we should note, News Corp, the owner of The Wall Street Journal, has a commercial relationship with Google. How is generative AI changing Google search?
Google has been experimenting with integrating this new technology, generative AI, into this product called Search Generative Experience, or Google SGE, which really rolls off the tongue. And it's just in a test right now, about 10 million users. You have to opt in to be able to use it. But there's enough of a test, we can see what it looks like. And what it does is it summarizes the things that were on the internet that Google in the past would have turned up in the form of links, and then does drop a few links here and there, but they're over on the side, or you have to hit a little button to like open up more space to actually see a link. So the bottom line is it's a lot more Google and a lot less the sources that would have led to that answer.
One of the people or groups that you mentioned in your story that's really affected by this is news publishers. Tell me what this shift could mean for them.
News publishers are incredibly dependent on Google. And in fact, in recent years, they've become even more dependent on Google because social media has been giving less and less traffic to news publishers. So against that backdrop, what this threatens for them is on average, publishers get almost as much as 40% of their traffic from Google. And this could decrease that Google traffic by as much as 40%. So it would really be a catastrophic drop if this early kind of worst case scenario models come to pass.
The irony here, of course, is that Google and other generative AI companies train their models on news publishers' content. So are media companies pushing back on this at all?
Absolutely. So we've seen a couple of responses. One is a legal response. There have been folks out there saying that their content is being stolen and they're going to sue. In the interim, what a lot of folks have been doing is simply blocking the crawlers. The crawlers are these little pieces of technology that go and find the content and then can feed it into the LLMs. LLM is a large language model that is the technology that powers generative AI. So there's this thing called robots.txt, which is a little bit of code you can put on your page to basically tell Google's crawler, hey, don't crawl me. And so folks have been blocking OpenAI's crawler. There's one called Common Crawl, which is a nonprofit that a lot of folks use to train the early LLMs. The problem is that if you block Google's crawler, you can't be found on the internet. Publishers need Google and being able to be found on Google search to exist. Google has tried to solve this problem in recent months by rolling out this thing called Google Extended, which would give publishers the option to not have their content crawled specifically for AI training. However, the exception to that is this particular tool, Google SGE, the AI-powered search, which is the biggest threat.
We saw another approach that some of these media companies are doing is licensing with generative AI companies. Is this a preventative approach? Is it a way to keep them afloat while generative AI rolls out? What does this approach mean?
That is another third important solution, perhaps, to this problem. There are many in the news publishing industry that have hopes that this problem will be solved in the same way that past problems were solved, in that there was negotiation between the big tech companies and the publishers. So there's a history of Google and Facebook paying millions of dollars to big publishers to try to maybe rebalance the business problem that was caused by them basically taking all of the digital advertising market away from publishers and leaving them only with subscription market. So those are still in negotiations. Over the past year, there have been a lot of talks. But from our reporting, the talks between publishers and Google over payment haven't really gone much of anywhere. Google is not getting out its checkbook to pay publishers for training data, at least according to our reporting.
So if these publishers end up having as hard a time as they expect they will in the coming years, how could that affect the models themselves?
Google can only train a model if it has data to train the model on. In fact, search itself only works if there is something to search. And herein lies the problem. At some fundamental level, like Google is not incentivized to completely destroy the open web because it would destroy the utility of the Google search itself. Now, what Google says is it is not our intention to stop sending traffic. We intend to build this thing in a way that will continue to send traffic to publishers. Publishers say in meetings, that's what they're hearing privately from Google as well, but Google can't tell them how. And in the product that's out in the marketplace right now, it seems demonstrable that the links are far less prominent than they are in previous versions of Google. And not only that, but that they are not the sources of the information. They are corroboration. And I know this sounds like a small difference, but it's actually not, because the links that are there are just extra things that might support this summary. They are not necessarily the source of the summary. And breaking that link in information is really challenging for publishers.
That was our reporter, Keech Hagee. For more of your daily tech headlines, check out TNB Tech Minute. That's right here in the Tech News Briefing feed. Coming up, how to buy electronics that light up your home, not set it on fire. That's after the break.
The Samsung Galaxy Buds FE are the perfect partner for your smartphone. Stay immersed thanks to active noise cancellation with AI technology that filters out unwanted background noise. Listen to your audio in comfort hour after hour with the new wingtip design and easy touch controls that make changing settings a breeze. That's a lot to love for just £99 RRP. The new Galaxy Buds FE. Buy now at Samsung.com.
Defective electronics are causing more fires in homes lately. 17 people in New York have died this year from e-bike and e-scooter fires. Smaller devices like counterfeit electronics and even holiday lights could also be dangerous. Here to talk about how to buy devices that won't start a fire in your home is WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen. Nicole, how big a problem is this?
E-bike and e-scooter battery fires have been a growing problem in metropolitan cities all around the world. These vehicles are mostly secondhand or even new, and their batteries are faulty. And when they misbehave, they create an inferno that's almost impossible to put out. And it's an issue that fire departments around the globe have raised, and it doesn't really stop at those electric vehicles. There are many counterfeit products that can be found in marketplaces as well, like iPhone chargers that claim that they're Apple certified and made for iPhone, but are really not and have not been safety certified and are also causing fires in homes.
So when we're shopping for things online, which many of us do all the time, but especially around this time of year, how can you tell the difference between a device that might cause a fire and one that probably won't?
So online shopping in the year 2023 requires some serious consumer vigilance. And that's because a lot of these websites are marketplaces, and that marketplace is a host for third-party sellers who are not vetted with the same rigor as items that are directly sold by a retailer. We often buy things without knowing who's actually selling the item to us. So my first piece of advice is definitely to look for a key phrase, which is sold by on any website that you're buying from, whether it's Target, whether it's Amazon, whether it's Walmart. Look to see if that seller is a third-party seller and not being sold directly by the retailer.
So something like, if I'm buying something from Amazon, I would be looking for it to say Amazon as opposed to something else.
Amazon or the original brand and original manufacturer of that product.
Can reviews help guide us here?
One trap that a lot of shoppers fall into, especially on Amazon, is it's a no-name brand that they've never heard of, but there are thousands of glowing reviews. And it's really important to not be fooled by these kinds of ratings because they can be manipulated. And if you do want to look at reviews, sort by most recent, because I find that that actually helps with shipping issues or more recent issues. And I've also used the review page to search for fire in ratings, because that can be a good way to suss out dangerous products.
Anything else we should look out for?
UL, which is a nationally recognized testing laboratory, tests the performance and safety of all kinds of products. It's an independent third-party organization, and some local laws require products to be UL certified. So for example, in New York City, if you buy an e-bike or e-scooter, the battery on that e-bike or e-scooter must be UL certified. And they actually have an online database called UL Product IQ, where you can plug in the manufacturer or the brand and make sure that that appliance or that electronics has been UL tested. And that's a great way to certify that at least that there's some bare bones safety testing for the Bluetooth speaker or the e-scooter or the hoverboard that you're about to bring into your house.
That was WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Alex Osola. Our supervising producer is Catherine Millsop. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are the deputy editors. And Philana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back this afternoon with our TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.